And so we're coming to hear God's word just now. The words that we've sung together and then going through to the end of Psalm 90. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen. Let's pray as we come to consider God's word. Father, we thank you for this right and true perspective that your word is bringing before us just now. Father, we pray that you would place us in the right position now before you and your word, that we may come under your supreme authority. Father, we pray that we might not be over your word, but we might be under it in submission to what you would say to us. Pray that you would engage our minds as we consider what you're saying to us. Pray that you would soften and prepare our hearts to receive the truth of your word. Stir our affections, we pray. And by the power of your Spirit, we pray that you would move our wills in right response to what you would say to us this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Where is home for you? That's a question that's a little bit complicated for us at the moment. You know the way people say sometimes, "I don't know if I'm coming or going." We feel a little bit like that at the moment. It's just Emily and me over here at the moment over this weekend, but the whole family's coming in a couple of weeks. So I go back tomorrow, and then we're all coming over in a couple of weeks' time. But we won't be quite sure if we're coming home. I know my mum thinks we're coming home, and in a way we are coming home, but we're also leaving home. I think probably somewhere in the aeroplane, halfway between Stansted, probably in Gothenburg, it will switch between leaving home to going home. But thinking about home a little bit more broadly, if we could define home as the place that we settle down in, the place that we rest, the place that we look to for for a sense of permanence, for stability, for security that will last. The place that we look to for provision and a meeting of our needs that will satisfy. The place that we look to for purpose, for identity, for significance that fulfills. And then we ask the question again, where is home for you? Where have you settled down? Where do you rest? Where or what do you look to for permanence, for provision, for purpose? You see, those are things that we all long for. The problem is, by nature, we look in all of the wrong places for those things. And so do people all around us, our neighbors, our friends, our family, our work colleagues. We settle down in our career. We settle down in our relationships. We settle down in our lifestyle. We settle down in so many other places, and we look to those places to give us these things, permanence and provision and the purpose that we long for. The problem is with those that I've named, and perhaps others that you can think of, the problem is that at some stage, they prove to be false homes. They don't deliver what they promise to us. And one day, those false homes will come tumbling down. So where can we find our true home? Well, that's the question that I believe this psalm is answering. And the answer is clear right from the start. And if we just put it just in one brief sentence, it's this: God is our true home. God is the only true home. And so it's only when by faith we rest in Him that we find ultimate permanence and provision and purpose. You'll have noticed that it's a prayer of Moses. The title is very clear, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Sometimes interesting to wonder at what point in a psalmist's life that the psalm was written, or what their circumstances were. And I think it's possible that the time that Moses prayed this prayer was a time that he certainly needed to be powerfully reminded that God was his true home. And also a time that he needed to clearly teach God's people that God was their true home. So what time are we thinking about in Moses' life? Well, if we do a little bit of detective work, we discover that the only place in the Bible outside of Psalm 90 and Psalm 91 that God is referred to as our dwelling place is in Deuteronomy 33. It's also one of the few places in the Bible that refers to Moses as Moses, the man of God. So if we do a little bit of detective work in Deuteronomy 33, and we can see what's going on there. Moses and the people of Israel are in sight of the promised land. But for Moses, he's just been reminded that actually he's not going to enter the land. And for those of the generation of Israel who would enter the land, there would be many, many times in the years to come that they would be tempted to settle down, to trust in, to rest in the wrong things, the wrong places, the false gods of the nations, and to make them their dwelling place. And so in verse 27 of Deuteronomy 33, in some of his last words to Israel, Moses declares, "The eternal God is your dwelling place." In other words, your true home is not the physical land that you're about to enter, and it's certainly not the false gods and false homes that you're going to encounter. but God is your true home. So find your rest in Him. Trust wholly in the eternal God and all of His good promises. And that's the message of Psalm 90 as well. God is our true home. The psalm breaks down into three parts. Verses 1 and 2 are praise as Moses recognizes who God has revealed Himself to be. Then verses 3 to 10 move into to lament, and we sung it so suitably to reflect that. Lament as Moses then realizes again who God has revealed us to be. So who God has revealed Himself to be is wonderful, but then who God has revealed us to be. And finally, verses 11 to 17 are words of petition and response as Moses finally responds with a prayer that essentially leads back home, recognizing God as our true home. So firstly, praise, verses 1 to 2. God, You are our true home. Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever You had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. It's very difficult to find a home in Gothenburg. If you want to rent a home, rent an apartment with a first-hand contract, it's about 6 years on the waiting list before you can go through the official agency and actually rent an apartment. That's not too bad when you consider Stockholm. It's, I think, about 12 years now before you would get somewhere to live. And so a lot of people go for a second-hand contract where the costs can really soar. And you can be out in your ear in a very short space of time. You have very little security. That the home doesn't last. And so it's very difficult to get settled down in an apartment and in a community. But you see, if God is to be our true home, then he's got to last. He's got to be an eternal home. No provision would fully satisfy. No purpose would completely fulfill if they're not permanent and lasting and eternal. And that's the problem with the false home, some of those that we mentioned a few moments ago. They're short-term lease, their second-hand contract apartments, and they don't last. But God is, our true home is from everlasting to everlasting, eternal, unchangeable God, all-powerful God, the One who was before all things, the One who made all things, the God who was and is and evermore will be. Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. You are our true home. What a note of confident praise as Moses recognizes who God has revealed Himself to be. But then we come to verse 3. Yes, verse 1 to 2, God, You are our true home. But verses 3 to 10, but we are, if you like, far from home. Here's a contrast that's coming from praise to lament, from recognizing who God has revealed Himself to be to realizing who God has clearly revealed us to be. And what a contrast. God is from everlasting to everlasting. But our lives are short and full of suffering. So, so short. What did you do yesterday? We went on the train early in the morning down to Dublin, and a couple of friends from Coleraine came down as well, and you had a lovely day together and said goodbye to them again at the train station in Portadown. And it was a great day, but it's gone. Yesterday's there and it's gone. I woke up in the middle of the night last night. Thankfully, just very briefly, just for a short time, I was awake, and then I was back to sleep. I hardly remembered what I'd even thought about during that time, and there wasn't really time to do anything. Like a watch in the night, and it's gone. Like a dream. Do you dream much? I'm sure if I asked, do you have a recurring dream? I have a recurring nightmare, and it goes back to my school days. Not when I was teaching, but when I was on the other end of things. And it's the exam that you haven't studied for. And it's coming up the next day. Now, it's not entirely fantasy. It was a maths exam, and I'm still traumatized by it. But you dream it. It's there, and then suddenly you wake up, and it's gone. Now, we've no problem growing grass here. And you come down and in the plane to Belfast, and you see, well, there's at least 40 shades of green, and there's a price to pay for it, and it's all the rain. But where Moses is thinking about, the grass would have sprung up with the dew and the moisture on the ground, little fine pieces of grass, and then something we don't know very much, the great heat of the sun that comes up in the sky and it burns up the grass to a crisp. It's there and it's gone. Life is so, so short. And even this short life is filled with suffering. And yes, futility. Its span. Look at your hand. All the width of a span. Its span is but toil and trouble. Just a handful of suffering. Difficulty. We don't have to think too long to think about our own experience of that or suffering in the lives of others. So the question has to be, but why? Why is it like that? Well, the answer is this life is short and full of suffering because of our sin. It's God who says, return to dust. It's God who sweeps humanity away like a flood. We are brought to an end by His anger. All our days pass away under God's wrath, and there's a reason for it. It's because of our sin. And verse 8 reminds us that God sets our iniquities before Him. Our secret sins are brought to light in His presence. God sees, God knows. And He judges. A life that is short and full of suffering because of our sin. It wasn't meant to be this way. Yes, God made us from dust, but He made us to live in relationship with Him. He made us to be at home in Him, to rest in Him, to live forever. People made in His own image, made for life, with permanence and plentiful provision and purpose, finding our identity and significance in Him. But it's because of our sin that God says, return to dust, O children of man. You're dust, and to dust you will return. Because of your sin, your life will be short and full of suffering. What a contrast. What a change, perhaps, in our perspective, or the perspective of the world around us. God is our true home, eternal, everlasting God. But in our sin and our fallenness, oh, we couldn't be further from home, far away from home, settling down in all of the wrong places, all of the false homes that won't last or satisfy or fulfill, living in just a handful of suffering and futility that will one day give way to an eternity of suffering and futility. Back in the 4th century, Augustine was a restless young man. You could say that he was someone who was searching for home. And yet he kept settling down in all of the wrong places. From North Africa to Europe, he searched for home. He searched for rest in philosophy, in all kinds of strange theology. And he searched right down deep into sexual sin. But still he was restless and unsatisfied. He was far from home. He describes himself as a runaway. Someone who was rushing heedlessly among things that kept him far from God. I wonder, is that you this evening? Far from home, a runaway, rushing heedlessly, searching for rest, for permanence, for purpose. But you still haven't found what you're looking for. Or maybe this evening in the past, you found your dwelling place in God. But like Israel way back there and then, who entered the land, you've been tempted away, perhaps just a little bit, from your true home, away from resting in Him, away from looking to God for permanence and trusting His good provision and finding your identity and significance clearly in Him. And perhaps this evening you feel far from home. If you're far away, then if you like, this is the road home. God's Word leads us home, recognizing who God is, who He reveals Himself to be, realizing who we are in our sin, far from God, and finally calling us to respond with a petition, with a plea, please bring us home. Verses 11 to 17, please bring us home. It's a three-part plea. Firstly, if we could paraphrase it, it's make us wise, or even make us wise up. Verse 11 to 12, who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Make us grasp this. I mean, the world is telling us something very different. One thing we've remarked on in Sweden is that, did you know that nobody dies in Sweden? We've been there a year, and we haven't seen any sign of anybody dying. No wakes, no hearses, no funerals, no. And you know, it fits with the kind of perspective that they want to give people in life. This is it. This success and the functionality of Swedish society, and we're affluent and we lack nothing, and what a great land of hope. But we know people are dying. We actually know tens of thousands of unborn babies are dying every year, while they're building bridges for animals across the motorway, for wild animals. People are dying, but that's the lie that's out there. And sometimes even as believers, we do swallow the lie, don't we? You say, do I really? Well, think about the priorities in our lives. do they reflect that we've swallowed the lie a little bit as we invest in education and success? And what are our dreams? What do we long for? What do we dream about? Is it in the perspective of eternity, or is it as if we're going to live here forever? Make us wise up. You are the eternal God, our true home, the only place of permanence and provision and purpose. But here we are, and in our sin we're far from home, and our lives are so, so short, and full of suffering and futility, and yet we keep fooling ourselves that we can find what we're looking for in this world. And we keep settling down in all of the wrong places, in false homes that will just crumble and fall. Make us wise up. And then in the light of who you are, in the light of who we are, and the judgment that we're facing, have mercy on us. Has anyone ever asked you, what should I pray to God? How should I cry out to Him? It's a good place to start when we realize who God is and who we are in our sin. Have mercy. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have pity. Have pity on us. It's a falling down. I remember someone saying a few years back, how do you know you've met Jesus? When people meet Jesus, they fall down. They fall down. They bow down. There's no negotiation. Lots of negotiations going on over these weeks. There's no negotiation. Surrender. It's who you are. It's who I am. Lord, have mercy. And be gracious. Be gracious to us. God of grace. Verse 14 to 17, satisfy us. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. Make us glad. I'm not going to find true happiness anywhere else. Make us glad. Let your work be shown to us. Let your favor be upon us. Because it's not the favor of the world that counts. Let your favor be upon us. And establish the work of our hands upon us. You are our true home. Satisfy us, gladden us, reveal your salvation to us, and shine your favor on us. Bring us home. And in you, let us fulfill the purpose, not our purpose, but the purpose that you have created us for. To love you and serve you and to bring glory to you. The restless Augustine finally recognized by God's grace that God was his true home. He realized just how far from God he was in his sin and falling down before him. He cried out for mercy and grace, and he found rest in God, his true home. He would later pray, you have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you. But we can't finish there. I think that would be a good place to finish. It's not a good place to finish because there's a massive question that's still unanswered. And it starts with why. Why would God bring us home? Why would he, if you like, bring us in? Why would he not just slam the door in our faces? Well, the answer's in the psalm, I believe. See, this is a covenant prayer. The psalmist is crying out to the Lord God, Yahweh, covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, show us your mercy. Lord, satisfy us with your grace, your steadfast love, your covenant love. We are your servants. Shine upon us on the basis of your covenant promises. Just as they back there and then cried out to God for wisdom and for mercy and for grace and for home on the basis of God's covenant promises, so we today, here and now, cry out to God on the basis of God's new covenant promises in Jesus, the fulfillment of his promises. The one who is from everlasting to everlasting. Think about it. Eternal Son of God. And yet he entered into this world filled with suffering and futility. Into the span of suffering and futility. And he took on himself our sin. And in our place, he was brought to an end, as it were, by God's anger. The flood of God's wrath swept over him. So that when we cry out to him, we might justly receive God's mercy and know God's grace lavished on us forever. When we cry out to God on the basis of Jesus and Jesus alone and all that he has done fully and forever for us, when we cry out to God on this basis and this basis alone, he brings us home. No matter how far or how often we've strayed, in him we find rest. All that we need is all that we find in him. So as we close, let me ask the question again. Where is home? Where is your true home? Honestly, where have you settled down? Who or what do you rest in? What is it that you're looking to for permanence, for security, for stability? What is it that you're looking to for provision, to satisfy? Where is it that you're looking for purpose, for identity, for significance? If you're far from home, then by faith, come home. You have made me for yourself, O Lord. And my heart will be restless, and your heart will be restless until you find your rest in him. Let's pray. We'll consider what God is saying to us as we recognize the truth of his word, as we consider how he would have us respond. Father, we pray that you would forgive us for so many times we lose this perspective. We lose right perspective of who you are. Eternal, unchangeable God. We lose right perspective of who we are. Finite and sinful. We look in the wrong places. Father, we pray that we might wholly find our rest in you. Father, we thank you that you are God and you are good. Help us to trust your goodness in everything. Help us to rest in you, even when we don't understand, even when we can't see what's ahead. You are the everlasting God. We can trust you. Thank you for your gracious, sufficient provision for us in the Lord Jesus. Thank you that all that we need is all that we find in him. Father, we pray that we might rest in him. In Jesus' name, amen.